Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Giants Insider Podcast. Welcome back to Ahmed Farid,
who has
been on biathlon duty, I guess, or
cross-country, biathlon, a lot of curling. There was a ton of curling. Luge, which I thought was cool. Skeleton, which is like luge, you just sit in a different way. Bobsled. We had it all throughout the
whole team. You were on every morning in the Giants clubhouse.
Is that true?
Yeah. Clean shaven, which people found funny, the people who see you around the ballpark, the PR people and even some players.
I didn't like that. Yeah. I didn't like the shaven Olympic look.
The beard's back.
I'm growing it back.
I should say the last time you were on this podcast, it was the Giants Insider Podcast. Now it is the Giants Insider Podcast presented by Wendy's.
Oh!
So we have the presenting sponsor there.
We did that.
Last time I shouted out the Wendy's at the UCSB Student Center. This time I would like to shout out the Wendy's on Scottsdale Road.
Okay.
Where me and another beat writer went on the way to a game last week.
Nice.
So that helped us get through the drive.
Did they hook you up? That's the question.
They knew.
Oh.
They didn't recognize me. I wasn't driving. But anyway, they're our sponsor. You'll hear a lot about them. I wanted to, first of all, the guest today is Gregor Blanco, so he is coming up. But we wanted to talk a little bit about camp. I was there for 2.5 weeks. I'm headed back soon. You're headed down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting camp. You look around, you see Andrew McCutchen. You see Evan Longoria. You see Austin Jackson. And then you see the kids. I mean, Steven Duggar, Chris Shaw have been playing pretty much every day. So it's been interesting. It's been lively. It's something I've talked about a couple times on here and have written about. Definitely a more energetic group. But what I wanted to do, since you have been focused on the snow and focused on the weird sports where they cross-country ski and then shoot a rifle for 6 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, weird sport, although fascinating when you watch for 12 hours.
I want to try it.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to do is get you back into this by you asking me a little bit of what I saw down there.
Yeah, totally. Because we were in the newsroom like 20 minutes ago. I go, Alex, what's happened? You go, no, we're going to save it.
Which is what people ask me every day on Twitter. So we'll just save it here. Yeah.
We go, that'll be the podcast. And so, yeah, I mean, you're right. I've been practicing the name Evgenia Medvedeva for 3 weeks, which I've gotten now down.
She should have won.
She should have won, right?
I was so sad.
She should have won, but she didn't win. I am curious. Like, I'm going to ask just questions that I'm curious about now, and they might not be relevant, and you might not have answers, but I'm going to ask them anyway. Is that all right?
Go for it.
Every camp, you want to have, like, competition, right? You want to have...
Yes.
Do they have that? Are there places where it's, like, emerging, or is everything pretty much set in stone?
So I thought about this the other day because Kyle Jensen hit a walk-off grand slam, 6 runs in the ninth. They played some weird games down there. Like, every game's pretty much the same. They fall behind way early. They score a ton in the ninth. That one they actually won. But all of a sudden you start thinking about Chris Marrero, who won a job last spring doing the same thing. And I just don't see that. Like, there's no road for guys like that. You start thinking about the bench, and you have Hundley, obviously. Pablo Sandoval's going to be on the bench. He has looked good at the plate. Very clear he's going to be their top pinch hitter. The other infielder, I mean, Miguel Gomez is interesting to me, but I think they're looking more for defense and somebody who can play shortstop. So Kelby Tomlinson's the leader there, and then you have Rutledge and Darno. And then you start looking at the outfield, and assuming they go with five, I mean, they're looking for a guy who can play center field, which is a Blanco or Gorky's or maybe Duggar.
Right.
And then there are other guys in that mix. I mean, Slater, Williamson, Jarrett Parker's out of options, but it's going to be really hard for some of these guys who are not already locked in at a position to make the team, I think. And then you go to the bullpen, and most of the guys are being slow played because they kind of know who's going to be in the bullpen already. Go to the rotation. I mean, Ty Blocks looked really good. That was probably the job that somebody could try to steal. So it'll be hard, I think, for someone to take his job. It is, as I left after 2.5 weeks, it was interesting to go. I don't know how much competition there actually is here. I think there's competition to be the guys who get called up.
Yeah.
But to actually make the opening day roster, I mean, I got to think they have 23 or 24 guys set already.
How's Duggar looked? Because we talked so much about Duggar being a guy who could start opening day, and you talked to Brian Sabian, and he's, it seems like he's in the camp of, like, I think he could do it if we needed him to do that. How has he looked so far?
He has, I mean, we know the defense, obviously. We know one thing that stood out to me is the arm a little bit when you watch him do drills. There's a lot of arms in that outfield that are short. It's going to be a problem this year, too. It was a problem last year. But I think even with – McCutchen has a good arm and right. But a lot of guys that they have out there taking fly balls. And it's early in camp. But arms are a little bit – leave a little bit to be desired. But Duggar has a good arm out there watching him. And the other thing that stands out, you watch him take BP. It's just a really nice – swing from the left side. It's short. It reminds me of Crawford a little bit, Joe Panic. I mean, these guys who just have a short swing, and you can just kind of picture him putting it in the gap and taking off. I mean, I think if that guy is ever the full-time center fielder, you're talking 10, 12 triples a year. So he has had a good camp, I think. And I don't know if he's going to win that job. You look at Blanco's had a good camp too, and they're probably more likely to start with Jackson and Blanco in center, I would think. But yeah, Duggar certainly has impressed. Just physically is just the tools are there to be a really good center fielder for him.
McCutchen, getting to watch him now up close, obviously he's the real deal and we know what he can do, but what is it? What have your impressions been of McCutchen up close?
The hands are so quick. And we saw it the first day of live BP when he homered off Bumgarner, and just has been a good fit in the clubhouse.
And Bumgarner hasn't talked to him since, right? He's
just, you know, and it is something where you realize, like, it's funny sometimes you look out there at the lineup and you go, oh, Andrew McCutchen sitting in front of Buster Posey. So if they stay healthy, that'll be pretty good. Haven't seen him run a whole lot, so it'll be interesting to see what they do at the top of the lineup. But it seems like they're thinking McCutchen, Posey, Longoria, 3-4-5 in some respect. So yeah, he's been as advertised, and just hearing guys talk about him, it's been a good addition, I think, to the clubhouse and in the backfields, and just a lot of guys grew up watching him and grew up idolizing him a little bit, and he's been fun.
Brandon Belt, we didn't see him for the last 2 months of last year. Saw the story Baggerly did on him, too, about the issues, you know, with just mentally coming back from a concussion. How is he look? I mean, are they easing him in, or is he been full bore?
No, he's been out there. You know, that was a good story by Bags, and something we've all noticed the last few weeks. I mean, he was, I think last year, even from the beginning, I'm not sure if maybe he was just worn down by the pressure of everything that gets heaped on him and having a new deal. And always that, he's very aware of that part of the fan base that's always going to get on him. I didn't think he was ever quite himself last year, and I think after the concussion certainly was not himself. But I mean, he is back to being the bubbly, happy-go-lucky, funniest guy in the clubhouse, first of all. And then second of all, I mean, he showed up and just, you know, just looked a little bit bigger, in a good way. Just looked a little bit not that he was ever in out of shape or anything, but just looked a little bit stronger, little bit sturdier, and I think he's, I said this a couple weeks ago when I wrote about him. I think if I had to pick somebody who would lead the team in OPS, I'd pick Brandon Belt.
Yeah.
Even with everybody they added. So, yeah, he's done everything you could want.
He's just so key, you know, and I think I do this every year, and people ask me, like, who I think is the key to them offensively, and I think I picked Brandon Belt last year, and I'll pick him again this year because you think about you know you're going to get from Buster. You know, maybe the power production's gone down a little bit, but you know what you're going to get from him. We think we know what we're going to get from McCutchen and Evan Longoria. But if Belt can be the guy that we think he is, I mean, your lineup is just so deep at that point that you just really, as an opposing pitcher, have a hard time navigating it.
And he is a guy who can hit second because of the on-base percentage. Yep, you put him in front of McCutchen. He can hit. He's hit third before, he's hit fourth before. I think they would like him fifth or sixth in that range. But, yeah, he's the guy that I think they can move around a lot. The funniest thing to me, and we'll talk about this, we're doing our Giants preview show today, and they go, give us an opening day lineup. And I want to hit Belt really high, but they're facing Kershaw on opening day. So we were joked with Bochy about that a couple weeks ago. But aside from that, I think it's a guy that just will be in the heart of that lineup and all year long. And just if people stop throwing baseballs at him at some point in his career, I think he's poised for a monster year.
So on the pitching side, you know, Brandon Belt's important on an offensive standpoint. All those guys are Buster Posey. You know, 1-2 in the rotation. If Bumgarner and Cueto aren't Bumgarner and Cueto, you're not competing for a playoff team. And there were some questions last year. Even when Bumgarner came back and pitched pretty well, the velocity was down when he came back. And he wasn't necessarily as sharp as he was before. And maybe that's understandable coming back from the shoulder injury that he had. But Johnny Cueto also, not like he ever really nailed it in at all last year. There were some signs, and that changeup was dancing at times and looking like one of the best changeups in the league, but it would come and go, and the blister issues would come and go. What's the talk around both of those guys so far?
So Bumgarner, I think, you know, he has looked like the guy of old. I mean, it looks like a normal. He came in and, again, I mean, we're going to end up on best shape of our life stories, but he did slim down a little bit.
It did look like that. I did see some pictures.
Just a little bit. I think he has been more active. He was at FanFest for the first time in a few years. I've seen him do a lot that the media asked him to do this year, and just has been, whether it's ramping up for his contract or realizing that last year was a year he has to put in his rearview mirror, I think there's been a little bit of a change in him. Cueto, to me, is fascinating because he hasn't pitched yet, and it's because he had the flu, apparently, and they've been holding him back, and he's been behind the other starters a little bit. He's supposed to pitch this weekend, but...
Which is a little troubling because that was part of the narrative last year. Remember, it was like he didn't get the
first. Yeah, he got a late start last year, too.
It's early still, but that's unfortunate.
Which I think always hurt him last year. But the thing that hasn't been answered to me, and they can't answer it during spring training, he had the blister issues last year, which really killed his season, and we don't know. We just don't know. I asked Johnny, are you doing anything differently? He said no. But I mean, if the baseballs are the same as they were last year, that was a big issue for him. So that to me is like you said, if he's not healthy, if he's not out there, this team I don't think has a shot. And we don't know until he actually gets out there, whether it's in spring training or whether it's in April, whether, you know, if he is beyond that, because that was something that really affected him last year.
I've got two more questions for you.
Yes.
As Tim Flannery has just walked in while we're podcasting here. Welcome back, Tim. Welcome back, Tim. You can watch Tim's antics on the preview show coming up here soon. But I had a question on the coaching staff.
Yes.
You know, Tim coming in here, he'll be in camp in like a week. I'm curious how it's a different feel, because I think when Tim left the coaching staff, it was probably a different feel than it was before, and now you've had mass changes on the coaching, changes that we haven't seen the Giants go through in a long, long time. How is that? How's the vibe been? How has it been different, or maybe not at all, because you still have Bruce Bochy running the whole show?
Yeah, it's been good, and Bruce Bochy has been very careful not to say much has changed, because doesn't want to throw the old regime under the bus, I think, or say anything was. And players have done the same. I mean, every time they talk about it, they go, those old guys were great. This is just a little bit different. The one thing I've noticed is just some different drills and different points of emphasis. I mean, you know, it freed up some guys. Wotus has a lot more time than he did last year to focus on individual things with some guys. And Bam Bam's now coaching the outfielders, which the last couple years it's been a little bit unclear at times. Roberto Kelly worked with him at times. Augie did, but Bam Bam really has been with the outfielders a lot, and we've seen the three ball drill they've been doing, which is fun, where they get three of them up in the air there and have them chase it. So I think it's freed some guys up to do different things. We'll see if it works during the season, but right now the reviews are good.
How close were they to bringing back Timmy? How close did that get?
I don't think it ever got close.
Okay.
Which is interesting, because when you look at what he ultimately got, I mean, it seems like the report is 1 year, one something.
Which, if we've learned anything, the Giants can keep spending, and they will never hit the
Bobby's
tax.
Bobby's a master.
They could spend another $50 million, and they would never hit the
so,
tax somehow.
Yeah, when you look at that, if they actually put him in the bullpen if the Rangers put him in the bullpen for that kind of deal, you wonder why the Giants wouldn't do that. But I just think they were never that close and just needed to see more. But ultimately, like we said this morning, he's not a Dodger. So
yeah,
it'll be a He'll come in with the Rangers.
He's playing for the not Dodgers.
Another guy who was Timmy's teammate, Gregor Blanco, like I said, coming up. So excited to be back in camp, and it's been fun having him. I mean, a guy who was there forever, and he's still probably one of the two or three fastest guys in camp. We've seen it. I mean, as Bruce Bochy has said, he looks like he's in his 20s. So yeah. Gregor is coming up, but first, our first ever live read Wendy's, our new sponsor. And here it is. The new smoky mushroom bacon cheeseburger is Wendy's most craveable cheeseburger yet, but it's only here for a limited time, so swing by Wendy's and get it while you can, no matter what it takes. I tried one the other day. It was delicious. Here's Gregor Blanco. All right, Gregor, you're back in camp. First of all, you broke the news yourself, so tell me how it all came about and how long you knew before you were able to post on Instagram.
Right away. I did right away when I talked to Bobby and I talked to him about like coming back home and stuff like that and be able to be here again. You know, it's a big challenge and a great opportunity for me again to be here. Like, this is my home. I feel like it's my home. So it's great to be back, and I was so anxious to post it, and my family was so excited, my wife, my kids, my brother. So I was like, I have to let it know. I have to everybody know that I was coming back. So yeah, definitely was exciting.
What was the process like for you? Did you have other offers you were looking at or other places you thought you might end up, or was this kind of a focus for you?
I did. I think my last one of my last offers was kind of like, I think it was the Mets and the Giants. And my agent and I talk about, I was like, man, I just want to get back to the Giants. You know, I don't know how a team's gonna be there, but I think that's where I belong. And it's good to definitely be back and show my teammates and everybody that I'm healthy. I'm 100%, and I feel like I'm run faster again, and even that I'm 34 years old, I can bring a lot of good stuff to the game still.
Yeah, we saw that. Boach said you look like you're still in your 20s when you had that leadoff triple the other day. Being on the other side of this, being in the division last year, you got to see these guys a little bit. What was it like being on the other side after having your breakthrough here and winning titles here?
Oh man, it was difficult. It was difficult, especially going to 18 Park and passing through the clubhouse, you know, and not be able to stay there, you know. But definitely was a good experience. I think was awesome to go to the Diamondbacks and learn, and I think I needed that change for a little bit, you know, get back to my basics, and especially on the stealing side. I work on,
I think,
with
15 for 16 last
year.
Yeah,
work on with Dave McKay. I think he's a great first base coach, and he teach me some new tricks and stuff like that. So it's awesome to be able to be there, you know, at least for a year. And I now come here and I show my teammates what want to learn and where we can go forward.
Did you learn anything about the Diamondbacks that surprised you about their organization or the way they do things?
Yeah, it really did. I think was one of the most things that I like. It was the dream, the hunger, they were hungry to win. They were hungry to show everybody they belong to be in one of the best teams in baseball last year, and they did. You know, I think as a team, we accomplished what we want. You know, and we want to accomplish it now here. You know, I think we've been through a lot of good stuff in the years past. But this is a new year, and we as a team, we learned from the experience last year, and we're looking forward to show everybody that we're hungry again for the title and that we want it, and it's going to be hard to take it, but we're not going to give up.
They had kind of a weird thing going with the Dodgers for a few years because of jumping in the pool and all that when the Dodgers won. But you've been in this rivalry. You've seen Giants-Dodgers a ton. Was it different when you would go to Dodger Stadium with the Diamondbacks than when you go with the Giants?
Yeah, a lot different. But I think a rivalry, I guess, because it's the same division. I think it was a good rivalry. But yeah, definitely, this is a lot different when you're going with the Giants. You know, you feel the atmosphere, you feel the pressure more, and especially when you go to the Giants, you see all black and orange and stuff like that. It's different when you go to the Diamondbacks, all you see is Dodger fans. You know, and I think that's kind of sad. I think their fans they need to be better on that. And as a Giant, we do a really good job on supporting our mm-hmm. team, and I think that's why we have such a good fan base, you know. And they're, like I would say, they are the extra player that we always need, and to pull each other and to be able to win those titles.
What was a guy we've seen a lot of, Paul Goldschmidt? What was it like seeing him every day? What kind of guy is he in the clubhouse? I mean, Giants fans have never really gotten to know him, but they just watch him.
Oh man,
destroy them on the field.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a great player. I think he's one of the best players I've ever seen, and I think he's underrated. I think I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe because the team that he is, like I said, the fan base maybe not support him enough. But he's unbelievable player. He works so hard. He respects the game. He's a great family man, and he pull out for everybody, and always trying to accomplish the best on himself. So I don't have nothing bad to say about him. He just such a great ball player, you know. And I definitely learned a lot from him too, you know. And I think everywhere I go, I always try to tell the little things mm-hmm. about a player that can help me to develop better. And I think I did it last year with him, especially with him and like Dave McKay. So. It was just a great experience.
Does he remind you at all of Buster, or he is their Buster?
Yeah, he's funny. They both look for each other, you know. I remember Buster watch him hit sometimes, and he's like, man, I don't know how he do it. And Paul talked to me like, man, how Buster do it, you know. It's so funny how they look for each other, you know, and definitely it's just like Buster, work hard, family man, respect the game, always trying to accomplish perfection, and so it's definitely good to see guys like that.
One thing I've heard from guys here, the younger guys, is that you've helped them quite a bit in just getting reads, defensive stuff. What's the balance for you? You're trying to win a job, but also knowing that you're the veteran, like you said at the start here, and trying to help some of these guys like Duggar and Sean, yeah. Help them get better.
Yeah, well, my goal is always that, man, like always to help everybody. I think the winning a job and stuff like that, I think that's out of my hands. That's out of everybody's hands. You know, they made the decisions, and all you can do is help your teammates to pull each other, and especially young guys, they're going to be the future of this team, because we are coming out. So we just have it, that dynasty, you know, keeping that dynasty running. So definitely help them. I think it's gonna be great, you know. Show them what we accomplished in the years that we won all the things, so they can keep moving forward and helping everybody out. So I think that's my goal, and that's what I always think about, you know, helping the young guys. So when I get out of the game and the young guys coming up, they do the same thing like I do.
My final question for you: I remember your spring of 2012. That was my first spring, and I think from the intramural game, the inter-squad game, we could tell that you were going to be on this team. What's your best memory of your first spring here with the Giants and making that team?
I think my first memory about that, it was the first day that I came in camp. I remember the first day, the first guy I saw, it was Tim Lincecum, and he was like, hey, what's up, man? So friendly, so like, and he was like two-time winning Cy Young pitcher, one of the best pitchers in the history of the game in that time. So I was like, are you serious? So he's talking to me right now? Yeah. I'm just like, and he was so excited to see me, and I was like, man, that's awesome. So I went to the hit in the cage early, and then I saw Buster coming up, and he talked to me like, man, you got a great swing. Like, okay, so where you play last year? He started talking to me, and I was like, man, this is awesome. You know, like all the good veteran guys, and like I say, they showed me that, so I want to show everybody that the same. You know, I think as a team, we want to continue to have the mentality of helping everybody on the team to keep having the dynasty running and to be a really good team.
Gregor, it's good to have you back. I know you're very happy to be back. So, yeah. So thank you for taking the time, and good luck this spring.
Sure, sure, man. Thank you. Thank you very much for everything.
It is out of hand in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Ha 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 ha.